do not adjust your radio dial. You are tuned in to the Mark Order Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
Here and then she's gone. She realized she wasn't late enough for the start of this show.
It's make an entrance.
A grand entrance. Just like her grand exit last week. Kate looks like she's having some connection problems. She'll be joining us. I'm sure she's going to have a lot to want to talk about tonight.
You know she wants to be on this show.
Yeah, this is the one. We got a lot to talk about tonight. The Mark Order Podcast, episode 74, here on the Shining Wizards Network. For now, it is Aunt Money. It is Ryan Schlong. Alt Rock, apparently.
Do you get it? Do you get the joke?
I don't think I do.
RS Alt Rock, CM Punk.
Oh. Okay.
It's a cheesy joke. I did it on purpose.
It's fine. I just didn't get it. I was like, whoa. And Kate the Great's going to be here whenever she can get her the hamster running on the wheel to fix her internet. But, man, what's good, Rye Guy?
So what's good with you, my man?
Well, you know, it's been, for me, it's been an interesting, like, 48 hours.
Not really all it's been.
Let me see. Monday. Yeah. Well, today's technically day three, I guess. So let me fill everybody in. I got to fill everybody in, Ryan, I guess, because people know what's going on in the Discord, and somebody tweeted something on Twitter and nobody knew what was going on. So I guess let me just, and that's not a big deal. I don't care. I just wasn't looking for like, I don't know. I guess I wasn't just looking for like, pats on the back or anything like that. Yeah.
I mean, it's going to, you better tell him, cause it's going to be noticeable soon anyway.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And then people would be like, he's dying. I had chose to undergo, gastric sleeve surgery. And I did that on Monday. So hi, Kate.
Hi.
On Monday. What's that?
How we doing?
We're doing well.
Good.
I was just telling the people what's going on with me because I saw a few things. Monday I had surgery, and I've only been able to drink liquids for the last 2 days, so that's fun. And tomorrow I get to move up to full liquids, so I can eat yogurt and pudding and like milk-based drinks. I have to start drinking protein tomorrow. I have my tiny cup here of Gatorade. Zero, nice. So that I can keep track of how much I'm drinking.
Well, there you go.
Tiny like baby sips, like a bird.
Like shots over there, it looks like.
It's sort of, even less than a shot. It's tiny little sips. But I'm glad to report that things went well. No complications, no nothing. I checked out of the hospital yesterday, came home, rested up, spent the day home today. Feeling good. Feeling good. Well, thanks to everybody for the well wishes.
We wouldn't want you coming back too soon because, you know, then you might get squashed.
Well, we're going to talk about that later.
Now that you're out of the hospital, I can say this because I didn't want to say it beforehand.
Sure. And
the only other person I know who got this had so many now, he was older than you, like I'd say by a good 25 years, had so many complications while in the hospital that I was legitimately like, oh, God. I was, like, nervous on your behalf. I'm like, I can't say anything. I'm never going to tell anyone until they're past that phase.
No.
And you're past it. His happened before he got home.
The worst problem in the hospital, for anybody who spent time in a hospital, it's sleeping. You literally get no sleep. Like, they had me up every 2 hours to check blood pressure or something. I'm just holding my arm out, like, please just let me try to sleep. But I literally would wake up and look at my phone, and it was just every hour I was awake overnight. So
was yeah, happy. My sister spent like a week and a half in the hospital, and that was her biggest complaint.
Yeah.
Yeah. They literally woke my sister up to give her a sleeping pill when she was a kid.
Fun. That's always that always makes sense.
Makes no sense.
But I will say this. I did get home to a couple Amazon boxes, and I just have to shout out my friends Jen and Alan, who sent over a couple nice gifts. They sent over a mug, not wrestling related, but the other two items were wrestling related. One is Hulk Hogan's book, My Life Outside of the Ring. There should be a brother after that, you know?
There definitely should be a brother after that.
I just hope it's really in-depth about his karaoke bar and grill down in Florida. Like,
I can tell you how it starts if you want to know.
Well, I'm sure that it starts with maybe the divorce of Linda Hogan.
No, with his son getting in trouble with the cops.
Is that really how this book's? Have you read this book?
Yeah, I have read that book.
Is it good? I mean, I'm going to read it, but
it's good is not the word I'd use. Okay. But it's worth a read is how I'd say it. Good because like it's very Hogan-y.
Is it like his other book where every other word is brother?
No, but
damn,
done nothing wrong.
Okay. Well, I'm going to read it. And the other book that I was sent, this is a hardcover edition, so I'm excited. The Ultimate Superstar Guide.
Ooh, all right.
Yeah. That's what's fun is there's a guy on the back of it who looks familiar. Let me see if I can get him in there. He looks familiar, but I don't know who he is.
Well, that's Finn Balor.
No.
The demon.
I don't know who this guy is. I don't know. Hard to tell. Dean something? I don't think I've ever seen him before.
I don't think he wrestles anymore.
Dean Malenko. Yeah.
Oh, the Man of 1,000 Holds. Well, too bad Chris Jericho's Man of 1,001 Holds.
It's true.
Four.
It's tough.
1,004? Sorry, Ryan. Sorry.
He knows four more.
And I also, this was a gift. This was a gift to myself. So we'll get the Young Bucks.
Ooh, figures. I love the pose. Very nice.
These are from, these were an Amazon exclusive. So these came out looking real nice, even though the corner of the box is fucked up. But what can you do?
Say that they are unrivaled?
I mean, it's hard to say because they've had a number of rivals.
It's true.
Right now, though, they may be unrivaled.
Okay.
We'll see. They're not really vying for tag titles, but trios titles. We'll talk about that as we get later. But that's all that's been going on in my life, guys. Everything's good.
Yeah, that's all. Just major surgery. That's all.
You know what, though? It was four. They told me they were going to have to do six, like maybe eight incisions. They only did four. Nice. I should have gotten a discount, I feel.
I agree.
You're paying per incision.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I feel like. They're very tiny, though. They're very tiny. Like, they're not, they don't look like they're more than like an inch and a half, you know, wide. So
that's tiny now?
I mean, I've never had surgery, so this is my first time. I would consider that tiny instead of splitting my abdomen open.
I'm just saying, I didn't realize an inch and a half was considered tiny anymore.
Buster agrees. I can hear it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really important to Ryan that an inch and a half is not considered tiny. You know what I mean? Like, it's really important to him.
Okay.
If you're catching the drift.
Yeah, we gotta say that's huge.
It's really large, Ryan. One and a half.
Thank you.
Large. Huge.
Were those incisions hard or were they soft?
I mean, they seemed pretty soft at the time, but it feels like it's pretty hard now.
Okay, so flaccid incisions about an inch and a half. Got it. Okay.
I would prefer them to be hard at that size, but we'll keep going.
I mean, it would be better if they were flaccid because it can only get bigger, sir.
Oh, I know, but sometimes we don't control that.
Well,
it's true.
So, yeah. That's all that's going on with me. So I figured let's touch on it and we'll move on. That way, as Ryan said, people are going to see it at some point. People won't then think I'm deathly ill, Kate.
Who cares about your surgery? Do you see my hair?
No. What happened to
it? I'm strawberry blonde now.
Oh,
I was regular blonde. Come on.
Your hair is everywhere.
Oh, enough with the dashboard.
I thought Danny came back for a second.
Yeah, seriously. Wow, Kate, that looks fantastic.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And if you're listening in podcast form, shame on you, because you should be seeing how my strawberry lowlights have just changed the game here on the Mark Order podcast.
What's a lowlight?
Do you know what highlights are in your hair?
Yeah, why wouldn't they just be strawberry highlights?
Because when they're underneath, they're called lowlights.
I still think it's a highlight.
Okay, well, as much of a cosmetician as you are, Ryan, I'm going to go ahead and understand. You colored something.
It's a highlight.
Right, but what you colored is underneath the other coloring, ergo it's a low light. Idiot.
I don't like this reasoning.
Go back to school, Ryan.
Yeah, go back to school.
Go back to school and read your Hulk Hogan book.
Yeah. Required summer reading.
How do I reach these kids?
Oh, Ryan, what's going on with you? Did you get any of your hair highlighted?
Yeah, gray. It's a nice gray color now.
A little salt and pepper. You look very distinguished.
Kate, do you get why my name is my name today?
I do not.
I didn't get it. He had to explain it, yeah.
I thought the CM Punk fan would get it.
No.
RS Alt Rock.
It's his initials in a form Punk, of music.
RS Alt Rock.
That is the expected.
She's frozen, so it's even better. I don't even see the reaction. It makes it better.
Oh no, she reacted. I think the pause was meant to be, and then just head shake.
I think it's a brilliant joke, personally.
But you're your own number one fan.
Not great.
Someone has to be.
That's it.
So you're good, Ryan?
We're not going to pop for ourselves.
Fair enough.
Kate, did you do wrestling commentary this weekend, or is that next weekend?
This upcoming weekend, yeah. Okay. Saturday, I think.
Okay.
I should know that.
Well, that should be fun. Yeah, but, you know. You got an hour and a half until we plug.
It's true.
All right. Well, if you guys don't have anything else you want to talk about, we could dive right into to talking wrestling. Why don't we talk a little bit about Rampage?
Hell yeah.
Rampage was sort of meh for me this week. I'm not going to lie. Claudio came out and asked for an open challenger. And he got Dustin Rhodes, so we'll get that on Rampage this week. Is that exciting for anybody?
I think it'll be fun. Yeah. I liked the promo that we saw, and I think the match will be good. But I can't believe Claudio was like someone they wouldn't let talk in WWE. He's looked really comfortable on the mic, and I loved the story he told of understanding Dustin's career in terms of like being the guy that everybody says, oh, you should have won this and that championship. Like, I really liked it because that's very true about both of them. And I just thought that was like a nice little added story to something that's just an open challenge. Like, that was pretty good mic work, I thought, for a guy who can't cut a promo. But match should be fun. But I really liked, I like having an open challenge for the ROH World Championship, especially before ROH has TV. And, you know, you need somebody to eat some pins there for a while. I think Dustin's a good candidate for that.
He is a natural, right, Ryan?
He's the natural.
That's right. Does it do anything for you, Ryan?
What Kate said is about how I feel. We'll get a good match, and it's nothing serious, but it keeps the belt around and keeps Claudio wrestling, and that's good enough for me.
I don't doubt that it'll be a good match. I think it's just like, you know, and I know there's still no TV, but if we're going to do this, why don't we build something? You know what I mean? Like, why don't we get a story going? But that's, I guess, my only beef, right? I don't want it to be a flavor of the week club like they've done so many times before. So I don't know. We'll see what happens on Friday. It'll be a good match, but who knows what'll come out of it.
We will see.
We also got Ruby, Soho, and Ortiz backstage. They want a piece of Sammy and Tay, so we'll see that coming up Friday. Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland defeated Private Party to retain their titles. Now, question for you guys. They said that on commentary, this was the first defense for the tag team titles. Is that true? That match with, I guess, Tony Nese and Josh Woods, that was not for the titles, I guess, then, huh?
I thought it was, but maybe you're right.
I don't know. But if this is his first title defense, I'm just kind of like, can we get something for these guys to do?
Yeah. We'll talk about something for them to do.
Yeah, we'll talk about it when we get into Dynamite. It's very loose, though, what they've got them into. Also, again, it's just kind of like, man, what happened? Like, for me, it was like, what happened to Private Party? Like, again, I just kind of like, man, I used to love these guys, but...
Oh, I can tell you what happened to Private Party.
The Hardy and Andrade family office.
Exactly.
And one of them was hurt too, right? Wasn't it Mark Quinn was hurt for a while.
Yeah. It went from being like, is that Private Party to like, is that Private Party?
Yes.
I don't remember.
It really did.
There's someone I thought would have been perfectly paired with Stokely. Like that made so much sense to me, but they went with the Ass Boys instead.
Yeah, we will we'll talk about that for sure. Just don't get it. But anyway. Hobbs finds QT Marshall in the factory backstage. Zach Clayton comes out to trash talk West Virginia, and then he gets his title shot against Hook. Lasts all of 30 seconds, and he gets choked out. Hook retains his title. And then Daddy Magic, Matt Menard, and Cool Hand Ange are backstage saying it's time for the FTW title to be held by a sports entertainer.
Entertainer.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I should have said that right. Sports entertainer. It was just... listen, Hook is Hook, right? We've seen this out of Hook, but it's weird because it seemed like they made a huge deal out of this. And literally one duck and a chokehold later, it's over. I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, we've got to get Hook more involved, right? Like, we can't just keep him doing this forever. So, any ideas what's next for Hook with either of you guys?
I mean, it seems like they're going the way of Daddy Magic, which I think could actually be a whole bunch of fun. I think... I would like to see, well, as far as the match goes, I had tweeted like, man, if this match is more than two moves, I would be pretty pissed if I was AEW talent not being used in the spot. And then the match was like one move. It was basically the Red Rum. And I was like, well, okay, good for them. They took the under on that. So yeah. That made me laugh. But I think if you're going to go the route of Daddy Magic and Cool Hand Ange, that's a super fun thing to do. I would just like to see, I don't want them to mess with the presentation because it's obviously perfect. It's Hook, right? Goddamn. But I think Taz getting more involved would be something that would be really, really good of just like, he's the champion. He's the champion of this belt. He's my kid. Like coming into play a little bit more would be something that's really good. I think it would be cool to see Hobbs try and come back for it after he's done with Starks, but I feel like that feud should go on for a while.
Shlong, you agree with Daddy Magic, or would you rather see Cool Hand Ange?
6-1, half dozen to another. I mean, they're both good, so I don't think it really matters which one we get in this match. Hook's going to win, but it's going to be fun. I like that they used a squash to get Hook over, but immediately set up like a real opponent for him. It was a nice use of that time. You helped him look even better. You didn't hurt anyone, and then you immediately set up an opponent. It was very nice. Kate, if you make fun of the way I said opponent, because I could see it in your eyes, I'm going to lose my goddamn shit.
Well, now I'm going to. I wasn't going to make fun of the way you said opponent at all. This is the way you speak. No, there's no way I was going to do that beforehand.
I could see it when I say an O word. I could see her eyes light up. They're like,
I mean, Yeah, we both heard it. We
opponent.
We
saw it. Yeah, it was a strong one. Wait, okay, ready? Fuck, marry, kill. Daddy ass. Both of you. Daddy ass. Okay. Daddy magic. Effie, your daddy.
Schlong, you or me?
You can go first, because I'm putting thought into this.
All right, here's my only thoughts. Since I'm not totally familiar with a lot of Effie, I know his backstory, I know what he's done, but I don't know much of his work. I think I've seen him wrestle like twice. I'm gonna kill Effie.
In those fish nets?
I've got to. I really don't know anything about him, so I'm gonna kill him. He could be a murderer for all I know. Kill Effie. I'll fuck Daddy Magic, and I'll marry Daddy Ass.
Wow. Okay, going for the older men, just like your wife, right?
Well, he looks like he could give good tanning tips. So
that's a very good point. That's a very good point.
I'm killing Effie because I feel like he's just gonna have too much personality for me, and I gotta back that off. Like, come on. You'll hear why, because then I'm gonna fuck.
Neither of you chose Daddy. The gay one. At least you could have some fun.
Well, I'm choosing Daddy Ass because he knows his way around an ass. Like, let's go here. And then I'm marrying Daddy Magic because I feel like I get a whole family out of that. I get the cool Uncle Ange. I get the whole thing. So like, it works.
Okay, you're all wrong. You should be having sex with Effie. That's the move. He's your F.
No, he's got too much attitude.
Magic. I'm sorry, Billy Gunn. Grandpa you ass,
you're
attitude.
You're biased to begin with.
How am I know. Biased?
You don't like the ass man.
I don't have anything wrong with ass man. I just don't need him on my screen in 2022 wrestling matches.
Listen, I'm marrying Daddy Ass because I know he's raised two kids, so at least he can handle a family, right?
That is true. And like, if a guy you, who I don't, knows, I don't loves know. To
stick him.
I was gonna to say, I don't him. Know if you're more of a rack fella or if you're more of an ass man. But like, if you are an ass man, you guys have that in common because he's an ass man. Whoa. He's
well, I'm marrying them, so it's not really an option to be a rack man. And with all three of them, I don't think I'm the, we'll say, alpha in that relationship. So I gotta take a guy who knows his way.
Imagine willingly having the ass boys as your stepkids. No thanks.
I'm not marrying them. I'm marrying Daddy Magic.
They're old enough to handle their shit. The delay is killing me.
Are they?
I know, she got a delay.
Oh, boy. All right, let's go back.
FMKs us and leaves.
I know. Let's go back to...
Real quick, while we're off topic. Yeah. Happy birthday, Eric Friedz.
Oh, I didn't see it. Happy birthday, Eric Friedz. Haven't been spending much time on the Twitters. All right, let's go to Buddy Matthews defeating Serpentico. So Buddy Matthews makes really quick work. And then Miro comes out after the match holding Malakai Black's mask. He charges towards Matthew, beats him up, lays in some repeated punches and stomps in the corner. Buddy slaps him, Miro kicks his head off, and Julia Hart escapes. So clearly this Miro thing isn't over, Schlong, and the House of Black is gearing up for a trios match against the Dark Order. So I don't know if their head's in the game.
Me has a guess on how that match will go down.
How do you think that match is going to go down?
I think the House of Black, I mean, it stinks that we're going to have two trios matches and because of a similar reason, but I think the House of Black loses because Miro gets involved. And that's how you get the Dark Order to proceed to end with their matchup against the Elite. And what does Hangman do?
You know, I was thinking that Hangman's the obvious choice, but what if now Miro is a fellow compatriot of the Dark Order and just jumps in this match as their partner just to take it to House of Black?
I forgot. Yeah, they have the third partner.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh. But actually, no, I was guessing Stu returns because I just have that heart. I just want that to happen so badly.
I know. And if Eva Luna was part of the tournament, I would say absolutely that would be where I wanted to go. But I don't know. If it's not going to be Hangman, it would make sense that it's Miro, but I think it's going to be Hangman because I think we got to get to Hangman versus Kenny and the Bucks.
I agree.
Let's see. We get Britt Baker interviewed backstage. She's still talking about, All Out and Thunderstorm and all that kind of stuff. We'll talk about Thunderstorm later. Athena defeats Penelope Ford. Kip Sabian is in the crowd cheering for his wife. After the match is over, the baddies attack Athena. Jade Cargill comes with a sledgehammer to smash up Athena's wings that she built herself, apparently. Athena is able to kind of get out of the grips of the baddies, and then Cargill hits her in the abdomen with the sledgehammer. Shlong, I think we all know what's kind of going on here with Athena and Jade Cargill. I think we all kind of think that Jade is going to lose that title to Jade Cargill. Jade is going to lose that title to Athena. And I think that, we can see it going there. Here's my question, Shlong. The sledgehammer, the wings. Is that really enough to make you like, oh my God, did she really just do that? Like, I thought it was kind of corny.
Well, first of all, those wings are awesome. So I could see being mad that she broke my wings. But also, I think it's just a disrespect thing. Like, you broke something of mine. You dick. I don't know. I get what you're saying, but there was nothing else they could do. I mean, Athena doesn't have an ally she can beat up or anything. So all she really had was the wings.
Yeah, her only ally's out injured. So.
Which one's this?
Chris Statlander.
Oh, that's right. Stat. Jesus Christ, there's so many injuries now.
Yeah. All right, so we'll keep moving on. Billy Gunn. There is a Billy Gunn. Did we even talk about that? I totally left that out. Daddy Ass gets interviewed backstage, and he said that the boys have opened the door for him to spank their asses next week, and he scissors the Acclaimed. We find out they're going to have their match tonight. We'll talk about that. It's time for the main event. It's Orange Cassidy and the Best Friends versus the Trust Busters. OC and the Best Friends wind up defeating the Trust Busters. So they move on in the tournament. Nice moment at the end. Danhausen showed up to put a curse on Slim J. And my favorite part of that, Shlong, was did you see when he goes to do the curse? He just kind of goes, because Sonny's standing in front of him, he just kind of goes move out of the way. Like, he makes the move motion. Yeah. And then when she moves, he curses Slim J. I thought that was very funny.
Did you see who was with Trustbusters this week on Dark?
I didn't. I've been a little...
they have exposed. A Trust Butler and... The Mr. VSK is now Jeeves SK.
Oh my God, really?
You came out a full Butler outfit.
Oh my God. Did you enjoy this match, Ryan? I actually thought this was a pretty good match. I still think Parker Boudreaux is a little green, but
he's very green. Why they signed him. I do. I know how people are like, there's so many better, better indie talents out there, and I do, but I think you have to take a shot on someone like that in the sense of because if he pans out, it's unbelievable. But Slim J and Daivari can go.
Yeah.
So you may think the gimmick may be weird, but they are very good in the ring. So I think if they can get him, I think if they keep leaning into the weirdness of the gimmick and just get weirder, like by adding a Butler, they have a chance of surviving this because their matches are going to be that good. I mean, if the VSK starts wrestling, for them, he's awesome too. Like, they're just going to have awesome wrestlers.
It's just so funny because to me, Slim J is just like Scotty Too Hotty. You know what I mean? And I'm like, why would this work right now? But it sort of does. It's really weird.
It works because he's so old. Like, not so old, but he's been doing it for so long.
Yeah, I mean, he's weathered. He's no young dude. He's got some crow's feet working. Oh, doing the Slim J hat again. Okay. Showing your support.
I don't have a visor.
We got to get you a visor, man. We got to get you a visor. Well, it was actually a pretty, it was an okay episode of Rampage. I think everybody was sort of geared up for tonight's Dynamite, though. So, you know, when you have all the announcements that were made, that Rampage is sort of like, let's just get past this and get into Dynamite. And we're going to get into Dynamite and talk about what happened tonight. There was a lot of announcements about the All Out card tonight that's coming up. So we'll talk about those as we get through Dynamite. We'll talk about the results of all the matches, especially the unification bout that took place tonight. And dear God, I hope Kate can get her internet working again, because Lord knows she's probably got a ton to say about that match. But we're going to go in depth about all of it. We're going to take a little break first, though, Ryan. And for those people who don't know, we're part of the Shining Wizards Network, which hosts a number of other shows. But for those who don't know about it, why don't you sit back real quick and take a word. And listen to a word from some of the other shows that are part of the Shining Wizards Network.
Everyone knows a lot of things can change in the span of 10 years. But when it comes to professional wrestling podcasting, one thing is still guaranteed. The Shining Wizards is the only place to get all the latest wrestling news, interviews with the greatest guests, and of course, tons of laughs in discussing the world of wrestling. The show is still available on Monday nights at 7 p.m. East on rantemradio.com and Rant Entertainment Media on the TuneIn app. And it's still available on all podcasting platforms. To check us out, head over to shiningwizards.com, where it's still wrestling talk and talk about wrestling.
Because of the obvious threat to untold numbers of citizens, and because of the crisis which is even now developing, this radio station will remain on the air day and night. This station and hundreds of other radio and TV stations throughout this part of the country are pooling their resources through an emergency network hookup to keep you informed of all developments.
Horns up, everyone. When on the Shining Wizards Network, be sure every Friday to check out Radioactive Metal. Radioactive Metal is one of the longest running podcasts on the interweb. And every week we bring you a fist full of metal, including interviews with all your favorite artists, discuss all the metal news, and feature the best tunes on the air today. So grab a Lemmy, join your cool Uncle Snowy and co-host Aaron in the pit.
Your recognized symbol of excellence in sports entertainment broadcasting, from the current to the way back. Join the impact player Phil Rea and the Portuguese man of war Choppy for the Turnbuckle Throwbacks Wrestling Podcast, live every week on rantemradio.com. Get all our episodes over at iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn, Audio Boom, Google Play, ShiningWizardsNetwork.com, and TurnbuckleThrowbacks.com.
Are you tired of being told what to think and believe by Hollywood elites and politicians who just don't care about you?
Tired of not getting the truth when you watch the news?
Tired of trying to figure out what pronoun to use?
Tired of mob mentality when all you want to do is think for yourself and make up your own mind?
That's where we come in. This is Justin.
And Vince.
Your hosts of Inconclusive Breakdown.
We are a weekly anti-PC podcast bringing you entertainment and current event news without any spin.
If you want to truly stay informed on what's going on in the world, then give us a listen every Sunday, anywhere you get podcasts, at least till Zuckerberg and Twitter Jack deplatform us.
And as always, we're proud members of the Shining Wizards Network.
Tired of the PC police telling you what you can and cannot say? Want a show that travels back to the 80s and 90s, where the badass hosts have beaten down cancel culture on three separate occasions and carried on to gloat about it? Since 2013, The Midnight Jury is that show. Travel back to the malls and arcades, pop in your VHS, and join us where the 80s and 90s return from the dead. Conan, tell them where to find us.
WLWstudios.com, home of the Midnight Jury podcast, hosted by Midnight Mike and Calvin Brody.
Also available on all major podcast platforms via the Shining Wizards Network, and join in the conversation on Twitter at Midnight Jury.
What's up, wrestling fans? You want something awesome? Check out Wrestling Night in Canada here on the Shining Wizards Network. We're three Canadian metalheads uniting for the love of pro wrestling. Every episode we go over all the latest news and special events with the odd unique interview as well. So grab a cold one and check out Wrestling Night in Canada, eh?
All right, we're back here on the Shining Wizards Network with the Mark Order podcast. Let's see. Kate's back. She fixed her internet. Thank God.
I'm trying to be.
I know. Let's see. Guys, feel free to follow us on our social feeds, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, all the places, at Mark Order Pod. When you're there, you can hit our link tree to, request some free stickers. All you got to do is make sure you give us your full name, your full mailing address, and the country you live in, and we'll send out some free stickers. No shipping, no handling, no nothing. But you do have to send me your full address. I think I said it last week. Somebody requested stickers, did not give me an address, and I can't get back in touch with you. So please, if that was you, you know, just send me another request. I'll send them out. I promise. All right, guys. Guess what? Before the show tonight,
what?
We had rankings. So let's go through the rankings real quick before Dynamite tonight. Because there might have been some shakeups. On the men's side, we had CM Punk, our world champ, interim champ John Moxley, All Atlantic champ Pac, and TNT champ Wardlow. Number one, Hangman Page. Two, Powerhouse Hobbs. Three, Jay Lethal. Four, Darby Allin. And five, Bryan Danielson. Those three guys jumping into the mix. Women's division, Thunder Rose is our world champion. TBS champion is Jade Cargill. Number one, Toni Storm. Two, Britt Baker. Three, Athena. Four, Anna Jay. And five, jumping up, Jamie Hayter. And then in our tag team division, our tag team champions, Swerve and Our Glory. Number one, FTR. Two, The Young Bucks. Three, The Acclaimed jumping in. Four, number 10 and Evil Uno. And number five, The Gun Club jumping up into the mix. That's Kate's favorite. So she's really excited for The Gun Club to be in the rankings because you never know what's going to happen.
They're the ass boys and they're ass.
Oh, all right.
Boys.
That's right. I should have gotten Danhausen paid. I should have called them ass boys.
Yeah.
So, guys, let's get into Dynamite. And it wound up being an eventful show.
Was it?
Yeah, it was. Eventful. Let's get there. We open up with the second time in 2 weeks. They don't open with wrestling. So Jericho makes his way to the ring for his face-to-face with Garcia, and he talks about how he and Garcia agreed to work out their issues face-to-face, introduces him as one of his favorite people in the world. That's when the Red Death gets to the ring. People start chanting, "You're a wrestler." Jericho tells Garcia not to let them get into his head. He had a classic match with Danielson last week. As far as he's concerned, he slayed the dragon, but afterwards, Daniel put hands on him and spun him around, and he wants an apology. But Daniel Garcia says Chris knew how special that moment was to him because he was sharing the ring with a hero, his hero, Bryan Danielson. 30 minutes with this hero, people calling it the greatest match in Dynamite history, and he hung in with the best wrestler in the world for 30 minutes. That match is the kind of match he's always dreamt of having, sitting at home with his mom in Buffalo, and he got to have it last week. And he hopes some kid watching at home was watching at home, and he wants him to feel the same way he felt. And when Brian stuck his hand out and asked for respect, he didn't care if people called him a wrestler or a sports entertainer. All he cared about was the moment, and Jericho ruined that. So Chris looks conflicted and says he's sorry. He feels that way, but there'll be plenty more moments because he's the greatest technical sports entertainer in the world today. And deep down, he knows he's a sports entertainer. He wants to hear him say it. And that's when the Dragon makes his entrance to the ring. And he says he's seen Garcia's mentor here trying to bully him into saying he's a sports entertainer and you can be whatever you want. He respects their wrestling from last week and agrees with all the people. Garcia is, in fact, a wrestler. And Jericho needles him and demands that Garcia says he's a sports entertainer. But Garcia blows up and tells him to stop. He's got his hero on one side, his mentor on the other. He can't make a decision. Leave him alone. That's when Jericho grabs him and Garcia snaps and shoves Jericho down. Chance for You Deserve It, go up. Daniel Garcia leaves the ring. Danielson says he's not the biggest fan of sports entertainment, but that was pretty entertaining. And Jericho tells him it pisses him off when people say Danielson's the best wrestler in the world because he's been around for 15 years. He hasn't seen it once. That's what Kate was actually saying before we got on the air tonight. She agreed with Jericho big time.
I never said that.
But people. Yes, she did. People might say Jericho's the greatest wrestler and you want to talk wrestling. He's the last survivor of Stu Hart's dungeon. He remembers every hold he was taught and has forgotten more about wrestling than Danielson will ever remember. So Danielson asked him the question, if we were able to ask Stu which one of the two is better, who would he say? Danielson challenges him to, and he also says the same thing about Owen Hart and I think maybe one or two other people. But Danielson then challenges him to a match, the American Dragon versus the Lionheart, right now. But Jericho accepts it for All Out and tells him to keep in mind that the last time they shared a ring, he choked him out and put him out on the shelf for 2 months. Until then, watch your back because you never know when he's coming. And that's when Hager blindsides him with a lariat to the back of the head, along with a twisting spine buster. And we're off to the races. So it's almost like fighting for custody of your child with a wrestling match. I think that's sort of what we're doing here. And Kate, I'll let you go first because you did say you agreed with Jericho. You haven't seen the best wrestler in the world out of Danielson.
If that was true, why would I be wearing my Bryan Danielson shirt right now on air live? This is my Danielson shirt. I agree like with him.
Looks just like a white t-shirt.
Yeah, I think Kate's secretly singing Hey There Delilah on the side.
That's the game. That's the Danielson thing. It just says this white I loved the segment. I loved both sides of it. I really think Daniel Garcia has flourished so much in like I think we knew this was the end game, right? He belongs in the one stable, but he's done such great work under the sports entertainment umbrella. And it's just unfolding very naturally. Like it doesn't feel overly gimmicky. I'm very excited for Jericho and Danielson. I think that'll be a really great match, especially considering what we saw out of Jericho and Mox. I think that will be great for All Out. I'm excited for Danielson to go the way of the Blackpool Combat Club. Like he probably should. I think that would be great for him. But storyline has been a blast. Like this is a playbook we haven't seen really. This has been really, really fun of just via the caliber of wrestling poaching Daniel Garcia. It's not because of anything other than the fact that he's great at this, which is a super fun thing. And I also like Chris Jericho saying, hey, a big part of being a great sports entertainer is being a great wrestler involved in that. Like it is a nice reminder that Chris Jericho is great in that aspect too. So this was a bunch of fun. Danielson, great on the mic here. Like, this is the most authentic mic work I think I've ever seen him do. And it's a whole lot of fun. Him bringing up Hart and Owen Hart, I think is a really great way to pull pro wrestling to the forefront in this battle. So tons of fun. In retrospect, with what we saw the rest of the night, I think, not to play spoiler, but you're going to find out in 20 minutes anyway, I feel like Thunder Rosa should have opened the show to relinquish her title. If you weren't going to open with a match, open by having Thunder Rosa say she has to relinquish her title because of an injury. Insulting to do that in a 2-minute backstage segment or less. I think it would have been way more appropriate to open with something that's significant, like just continuing to do this to the women's division. But what I saw in front of me was great. I just wish this had come at a different point in the show.
Shlong, any problems with the opener from your perspective?
No, I mean, I want to point out that Jericho called him Danny, and Danielson called him Daniel. And I just think that's a very, like, I think they're doing that on purpose, obviously, and I think that actually speaks. Daniel Garcia calls himself Daniel Garcia, doesn't call himself Danny Garcia. And Jericho was calling Danny. Jericho was talking down to him, talking like a child. And Danielson was talking to him like an adult. And I think that's all important to this story. So I enjoyed it. I'm with Kate on the placement that Thunder Rosa absolutely should have opened the show. Punk opened the show when he couldn't. I think just by doing that, you help establish they're on equal footing. And by not doing it, you help establish that they're not on equal footing. But for the segment itself, the little nuances like calling him Danny versus Daniel and, you know, stuff like that is what makes this stuff so good, because they made sure to pepper in all this nuance to this story.
Go ahead.
I took my glasses off because they're bothering me for a second, and I literally can't see anything. So if you guys are making a face at me, could not tell.
Yes.
No, just my normal face.
Just my normal face.
I know Kate's trying to do something. I literally.
Well, Asian Joe's asking the question here. Do we get Jericho Garcia at Grand Slam? Do we think they're just split up?
That's very possible. That could be.
We'll be there.
Yeah, that's true. We'll be there. So
yes, we are.
That seems like it's a good match for a Grand Slam. I think that's fine. Let's do it.
Yep.
Hell yeah.
We do move on to our first match of the night, Dax Harwood versus Jay Lethal. And again, to me, this match just showed you, like, come on. Jay Lethal's a really good in-the-ring wrestler. Jay Lethal does win by pinfall with a roll up and a handful of trunks, true heel move. And then post match, Sanjay Dutt gets on the mic and says he's got a message for Dax and his big dumb buddies. And he never said who was there in their trios match for All Out. It'll be Jay Lethal teaming up with two close personal friends of theirs, and they unveil that it is the Motor City Machine Guns. We go to break. So, Shlong, let's go to you first. What'd you think of the match? And what do you think of the Motor City Machine Guns kind of jumping back through the door?
Match was fantastic. Both these guys can go. I think we were seeing that more like this has been the year of Dax, and he just continues to prove it. He is amazing. I don't ever want him to separate from Cash. I like FTR is the best, one of the best teams in the world, but he could have an amazing singles run if he wanted to. Jay Lethal has been one of the best pro wrestlers in the world for a long time. People know that. Other issues aside, you can never doubt what he gives you in the ring. This was great. The Motor City Machine Guns little twist in here was awesome because they're awesome, and that match is going to hump. The only thing I'll say is, does this mean they did not have a lot of faith that Wardlow could powerbomb Singh?
I just don't think Singh is ready. I really just don't. That to me is the big thing. It could mean that maybe he can't get him up, but I just truly think that this means that Singh is not as close as they thought he was.
Yeah, I think that's very, very possible. I think maybe it's more that Singh can't either take the powerbomb or can't do much else other than take the powerbomb, but Motor City Machine Guns deserve this. Those two guys have been in with, like, all of their best friends must be in AEW. They are the exact same circles that have spanned decades with these guys. So I think this is an awesome spot. In general, a lot of those Impact contracts are up, so it's going to be interesting to see where people fall. This is kind of like the Achilles heel of Impact. Every time that they get on, like, a good heater, Unfortunately, like, it seems like contracts end and their best, most over talent moves on elsewhere. So that becomes a little bit tricky. But Motor City Machine Guns, whether it's just a one-off at the pay-per-view or whether they are signed, I think it'll be a fantastic pairing. The match was really good. I think Let's Get Lethal is maybe the corniest possible Titantron I've ever heard of or seen, but the match was fantastic. No denying that. But certainly an interesting change of events. I think Motor City Machine Guns deserve it. And I think Sanjay did a good job of saying, we never actually told you who the trio was. Like, that was a good managerial move to say that, of you just kind of assumed, as we probably should have, but y'all assumed wrong and here's who's coming in. So I thought that was really clever work by Sanjay as well. And I'm excited for that match now. Like, that is going to be way better. No offense to Wardlow or Saddam Singh than anything they could have given us.
I also think it means we probably get a Motor City Machine Guns FTR just straight up tag match. And I want that badly.
Yeah, at some point I think we're due for that. And that that will be a lot of fun. So
Rep Humphrey asked in the chat, so I just wanted to address it real quick. He's not familiar with the Motor City Machine Guns. It's Alex Shelley and Chris Sabin. So you might know them as individual stars and not a tag team, but they were in those same ROH circles dating back to like when Punk was in ROH. I think Chris Sabin was there. And Alex Shelley, just two of the most decorated and celebrated performers in the world. Same deal. New Japan, ROH, just ended up in Impact. And they do some really, really fun tag work. They were on Ric Flair's last match and probably one of my favorite matches on there. So worth checking out for sure.
Yeah, they are definitely two quality wrestlers, and you can certainly check them out. But that will be a fun match for All Out. This is the point in the night where we find out Thunder Rosa is being interviewed backstage by Tony Schiavone. She's crying, visibly upset. She says that she is hurt and has to step down as the Women's World Champion. And that they will crown an interim champion at All Out. She hopes that Toni Storm wins the title and promises she'll come back bigger and stronger with a chip on her shoulder. And so there we are. You know, Thunder Rosa, who they never really got anything going on for, is now injured, but nobody really knows how. You know, I was just doing some searchings kind of during the show with the announcement, and there's really nothing out there where you can kind of point to her being hurt. She hadn't said anything, so this sort of was a bombshell. But we know we're going to get an interim four-way title at All Out. It'll be Toni Storm versus Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter versus I'm not familiar with this, Hikaru Shida.
Shida, it's with a D. Get it right.
Sorry, Shida.
Shida.
Who?
Shida.
What happened to you?
Never heard of him.
My what?
You just weren't talking to your mic, so it sounded weird.
And you were just like yelling up to your mic. Yeah.
I was just correcting the pronunciation of Shida.
Oh, I've never heard of him. I haven't seen him or her. In quite some time. So just seems a little weird to me.
Is Kay frozen?
She might be. I'm going to just pop her out while she figures it out. So Shlong, what, looks like she might be back. So there we go. Okay. Sorry, Kate.
You're in and out. We might as well just all good. Corners, 'cause we'll be getting to the big topic of the night.
Shlong, what'd you think about, the announcement? I mean, I know we kind of talked about it, saying maybe this should have led the show, but surprising nonetheless, right?
Yeah, this sucks. I know the rain hasn't been the best because they haven't booked it well, but still, I don't like this at all. I mean, obviously no one does. It's not anyone's fault. Person's hurt, they're hurt. I think Toni Storm's now the favorite to win this match, but yeah, this sucks. And it should have started out the show.
Kate, I know you also you know, went in about how you wish it could have opened the show. But I mean, nonetheless, I mean, also a surprise for you, right? Like, none of us saw this coming.
No, I don't think anybody did. Nobody like that I know. Either.
What, three words?
Yeah, we, it looks like Kate's frozen again. So I'm Kate, I'm moving you out. I see you're still there. All right, she's going to rejoin us. We'll get Kate's take. And actually, this is a perfect place, Ryan, for us to move on, because we know Kate doesn't want to talk about this. Daddy Ass versus Boy 1, Colton Gunn.
I forgot this happened in between.
Yeah. We get into this match, and we see that Stokely Hathaway is sitting ringside for this. And we have the Ass Boys. Austin is ringside. Billy Gunn is accompanied by the Acclaimed. And then during this match, Stokely Hathaway is able to attack Max Caster from behind with the boombox. Austin takes out Anthony Bowens. And while Aubrey is distracted, Colton hits a low blow on Daddy Ass. And he wins by pinfall with the Colt 45. Post-match, Stokely Hathaway gives the Ass Boys his card, and they put their put boots to their dad, and then fend off the Acclaimed. Swerve in Our Glory makes the save and run the Ass Boys off. My favorite part of that, Ryan, was that Keith Lee is in no rush to get to the ring. And he gets the ring and all the action is over. And he just helps Billy Gunn up. That was just, I don't know why I found that so great. I just thought it was very fun.
I love stuff like that where because it also doesn't like hurt the scene. It kind of fits the scene that he wasn't actually trying to get into a fight. He just, his presence, he knew his presence alone would change everything. I was really scared when they did that, because I thought it meant we were getting a different tag match than we're actually going to get.
Yeah.
I thought it was, as much as I enjoy the Ass Boys, and Kate does not, but I do. I did think it meant that at All Out we were going to get the Ass Boys versus Swerve in Our Glory. I'm like, this isn't a pay-per-view title match.
No.
Making it the Acclaimed is. So I'm all for that.
Yeah, I think they get there later with the backstage segment, but they do line that up, that we'll get Swerve in Our Glory with against the Acclaimed, and everybody loves the Acclaimed, so that'll be good. But yeah, I didn't really have this was really just a match to sell the story, you know what I mean? So like, I didn't necessarily have a problem with it. But I'm just still like, what is, they even mentioned, I think on commentary, like, what is Stokely Hathaway building? And I have to agree, I don't know what he's doing, but some of the talent that he's kind of going after, I'm like, what is this going to be together?
The Oddities.
Well, he's got the Ass Boys now. He's got Lee Moriarty. Who else? Anybody
Ethan
else?
Page.
Ethan Page. Okay. So that is a weird motley bunch, man.
You could say it's a motley crew.
No, I don't want to say that. They're not old. But we'll see what happens, I guess. I didn't have a problem with this match. And now we go backstage with Death Triangle and the United Empire. They're basically just building to their match tonight. You know, Pac says that AEW is Death Triangle territory. They'll find out the hard way. And, you know, United Empire says they're out for more gold. So we go to break, and we come back with the women's match. Ryan, it was pre-9 o'clock.
I was shocked.
I thought I fell asleep again on the couch. Britt Baker versus Kylan King. So Kylan King is the home crowd hero. Britt Baker, maybe not so much since she's from Pittsburgh. Britsburg. And as we get through this match, Britt Baker does win by submission with the lockjaw. Again, wondering why Kylan King just doesn't bite down as hard as she can. But anyway,
post-match. Biting is illegal.
Oh, that's why? That's why? Know. All right. Post-match, Britt Baker gets on the mic and says it's a shame about Thunder Rosa, but when she was champ, she worked her entire reign with a broken friggin' wrist, because that's what champions do. And luckily for Toni Storm, she'll finally be on pay-per-view with somebody who gives a damn. And that's when Toni Storm comes in, but Jamie Hayter blindsides her and beats her down as Rebel marches to the ring holding up a terrible towel, basically a towel, terrible towel, for Britt Baker to drape herself in. And that's when Shida makes the save. Okay. Well, she makes the save. I don't know who she is. I haven't seen her in quite some time. But yeah, now we're headed into this four-way women's interim championship match. So Shalong, what do you think about this this match? We're seeing a lot of Kylan King lately on TV.
I got to think she's getting signed. Either like maybe she doesn't get the graphic, but I got to believe something's been signed because she's shown up on Dark. She had an interview on Dark. She's had now two Dynamite matches. She's looked good in both. This one better than the first just because they gave her actually a lot more offense in this one. She's impressive. I mean, she could use a little bit more mic time. Not that she's bad. I just think indies don't give you, you know, TV mic time. But her in-ring, I mean, she's imposing. She's got muscles. She's a tall girl. I would sign her. I mean, I really am a big fan of her. So I think there has to be something because I don't think she'd come back to be wasted because she stepped away for a while to build her name.
Maybe she slides in to fill some of the gap that Chris Statlander's leaving with her injury because they're sort of, you know, the same type. You know what I mean? Tall, strong, imposing. So that's a thought that maybe I have, Ryan. But I mean, she's not going to slide into the same pictures. You know what I mean? Like,
no,
for belts couldn't. And stuff like that. But she's the same character.
She's an alien?
Chris Statlander is not an alien anymore.
I don't believe that. I believe she's an alien playing at a human.
Well, she says she's from Long Island now. So
yeah, but that's like outer space.
It's very true. That is very true.
Thank you.
Let's see here. After this, this is where we go backstage to Tony Schiavone with Swerve and Our Glory and the Acclaimed. And the champ said they didn't mind saving the Acclaimed because they love them and they're a ranked team and they've been ranked and they'd be worthy opponents for the tag titles at All Out. Max Caster says they don't need their praise or help. And Bowen says they're taking the tag titles at All Out. So we're building now that you got that match, tag title match, the Acclaimed and Swerve and Our Glory. That should be fun. And Shlong, we're at that moment of the night. I wish Kate was here because we are now at the point in the night where they went to their championship unification match. This was at the top of the hour.
Of the morning, do you?
Yeah. Was sort of weird to have them be doing this so early. But I think there were so many sort of like thoughts of what could happen with this match that, it then sort of made sense, right? Somebody comes back, you know, figure out what's going on and blah, 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 blah.
I actually have a theory as to why they did it when they did it. And I could be completely wrong.
Well, do we want to kind of just
cover it? Has nothing to do with the match.
All right, go ahead.
It has nothing to actually do with the match. The only thing it has to do with the match that is taking place is one of their biggest matches they've had in the history of the company. Definitely their biggest Dynamite. Only because there's actually stakes involved. You could say other matches, but in terms of stakes involved, there's very few that'll rival this. I think they expect at least to get a ton of viewers for this match. My guess is maybe they were hoping you come in for Mox versus Punk. The next thing we show you is a awesome Ricky Starks promo followed by awesome Mox promo followed by one of like just a banger of a trios match. So my thought is maybe their goal was to suck you in with the match that everybody was going to come to see and hope some people stuck around and then saw all the awesome shit they had after and be like, oh, I want to watch more of this.
I mean, it makes sense. It's just you figure your title unification bout would be your main event of the evening, you know?
Oh, normally. That's just the only reason I could see doing it then. Because even with what happened, it doesn't make sense.
Well, Kate, you've re-entered at the right point in the night. Forget everything else. We're up to the CM Punk John Moxley match. And ladies and gentlemen, this didn't go down the way any of us thought it was going to, and it was fucking fast. They're kind of starting out slow. Some punches and forearms. Punk is able to return the punches and forearms with knees in the corner. John hits a headbutt. CM fires back with a roundhouse kick, but he goes down screaming and clutching his surgically repaired foot after. Now, it should be noted, folks, he kicked with his right, and it was his left foot that was surgically repaired that he grabbed. So just keep that in mind. Well, they call for the doctors. Doctors come over, but Mox doesn't give a shit. He comes over, lariat, overhead hammer, and anvil elbows. He wrenches on that injured foot. Death Rider connects, pulls him up again. Paradigm shift. And that is it, folks. John Moxley wins by pinfall, unifying the championship. And he celebrates with both titles after the match, while referees and a medic and his trainer, a steel, check on Punk. That's it. We are done. No shenanigans, no schmazes like everybody thought. That's it. Mox is our champ. So, Kate, I'm going to throw it to you. What the fuck happened here? There's a lot of internet rumor going on that his foot is really hurt. I don't buy it. I have a theory of my own, but I'd like your take on this as the resident CM Pants expert.
This might surprise some people. I love it. I fucking love this because of all of the possibilities, this is one that nobody thought was going to happen. I love the fact that people are like, is he injured? Is it from the drama backstage? Is this setting up an MJF return? Like, people are all over the map with this, and that makes wrestling really fucking fun. So I love it. The other thing that I love that this does is it legitimizes interim champions, right? Like, you can't say the interim champion is the placeholder anymore because he just beat the OG champion. So it makes it feel like, okay, well, next time there's an interim champion, we just saw it happen with the women's division tonight. Like, that doesn't mean that the interim champion isn't going to beat the original champion and we're just going to resume the plan for that reign. I love that. I think that's a really, really cool booking decision. I'm very intrigued where this goes. I think it's, the more I marinate on it, if it's not because he's injured, I really think this could be a catalyst for an MJF return because, like, the guy that Punk beat in Chicago and Punk now not having a title in Chicago at All Out. Oh boy, that's, and like, they've both been the guys with the backstage drama, right? That have, like, it's surfaced enough. I think there's situations that magnifying glasses got put over, right? But like, at the end of the day, that's a really, 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 really fun thing to do. I think it's great because no one's gonna not want to see Punk win as a heel or a face either way again in the future. Whether that future is in a week and a half from now or in months from now, I think that's a really cool story. I love when you don't know what's going on in wrestling, sincerely, and I think it's really fun. I think they did it at this slot because your championship match is supposed to have an hour time limit, right? So that's really fun. Do it at 9 o'clock, make them think that something's going to happen in that hour. Like, they're going to go 40 minutes and then MJF's going to come out or whatever. Like, I think all of this was designed to throw us off in every single possible way. And I think the everything that followed this was really great too, but holy shit, all of this was extremely blindsiding. Him grabbing his plant foot, I think, adds so many different layers to this, which is really, really fun. Was he faking it? Was he, like, there's so many options. So I love it. I think it's a catalyst for a CM Punk heel turn. If Punk pulls off a heel turn in Chicago, if he's not injured, that's going to be really incredible to see. If he did just come back too soon, that just sucks. Like, that's just a really not fun way to have to go about this. But I'm glad that they made Mox the legit champion, if that is the case. So I just think it's fun. I think having all of these possibilities that we don't know what's going on is a really fun way to go about it. And I think commentary selling the idea of Punk came back too soon is also a really great way to go about it. So I actually really liked this.
I don't think it's a comeback too soon. I don't believe he's legitimately injured. You don't have somebody wrench on an injured ankle after he goes down, you know, if he's legitimately hurt. So I don't think he's legitimately hurt. Schlong, what did you think of this?
Okay, so a couple things here. I'm not a doctor. I'm never going to pretend to be a doctor. All I know is that I've broken bones in my life. You don't, breaking a bone isn't like, and I've torn tendons and, well, I don't know if I've torn tendons, but definitely torn ligaments. Breaking a bone isn't like tearing a ligament. He broke his foot. That's what he had done originally. You don't break a bone by like just have him standing on it and applying. You could tear a tendon that way, but you don't break a bone. So it wouldn't make sense that he would re-injure a plant foot. Like, that's not how that injury would happen. There usually has to be something, some form of, what do they call it? They're like contact, but they have a word for it. Like, there has to be something to it. I could be wrong, and I'm sure there's, I don't know about our fans, but I'm sure there's someone out there, doctors could be like, you're an idiot. That's, you can definitely break it that way. But just, I've never broken a bone by having it planted. I also, like you said, you don't pull on at a torn ankle or hurt ankle if it's legitimately hurt. You could do a bunch of other things. The look he gave Mox as he's being helped off, he turns his head and sees Mox celebrating in the crowd and the fans losing their goddamn minds for Mox, and he has a look on his face. And to me, that's the story. Everything else, that is the moment. If they don't use that, it's a mistake, because that is the moment that he turns heel. That is the moment where he sees that he got hurt. The fans are celebrating Mox taking advantage of the injury. These fans who love him so much are now all on Mox, and they don't give a shit about him, and it's all in that moment. That, to me, is it. If they use that, it's brilliant. And I hope, because he doesn't do things typically by accident. I don't think he turns his head with that look by accident. So if that's where they're going with this, I fucking love it. I would have hated this had this been at All Out. So it was very smart to put this on free TV.
Mm-hmm.
I will want, as great as I love this story, and I think the story is going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. If this match was a match I paid $50 to see, I know there's other great things on the card, but this would have been a big seller for $50. I would have been furious. But to do it on free TV, where you can get away with the shit and I don't care. So I'm hoping MJF, because I just want to see MJF back, and it would make so much sense. But one way or another, I thought this was just brilliant. What's your take on it?
So, I mean, I think we were talking last week about MJF. My only thing with MJF is if you bring him back, he's got to win this title now. You can't have him back in the picture and then lose the title match. So I don't know what they're doing. I don't know what they're doing at All Out, because if CM Punk is supposed to be this injured, he's not going to go for a pay-per-view, right? I think what happened was Punk is not 100% cleared to go. They said, you know, you can get in there and do like these two things and then it's going to be over. And we're going to change hands because he's not going to be cleared 100% for All Out. So instead of doing this match at All Out, they did it tonight. And now we're figuring out.
The only thing I'm going to say is, and he's usually pretty right, so I'm going to give the man credit. I think we lost Kate for the night, by the way. I think her internet is so bad that she fought to give us her Punk pick, and that was her Punk talk, and that was about it. Is that Sean Ross reported that the idea to do the match tonight was actually Moxley's, and Punk had to be sold on it. And the reason I say that is it makes me feel like they were always going to tell this story, but that Moxley saw it like I did, which is you don't make people pay for it, and you do it where you know he's going to get cheered, which is Ohio. Like, it just seems like they purposely moved it up to line up some things.
But now what's your plan for the pay-per-view? Because this isn't the plan anymore. You're going to run it back that quickly in 2 weeks. You're going to say,
no, you're not going to run it back.
His ankle's magically healed. No. So where do we go from here is my only issue, because who is going to get you to say, I'll pay my $50? If it's MJF, sure. But then MJF has to take that title. He cannot lose that title.
Well, here's the thing. When I thought the original way I saw this going, and I agree with you, the original way I saw this going was that Punk won. And then I, in my head, why aren't you doing, I thought Punk won in a straight up match. And in my head, it was like, you have to save this for All Out. The way they went, I don't think it matters what Mox does at All Out as much anymore, because there's a story now that is nothing I predicted. He could have a throwaway match. He could just not have a match. He could be in a tag match. I don't think his matters as much anymore because the way they handled this. He didn't win in a straight up match against Punk. Like, if Punk didn't get hurt, I'd feel the same way. Like, if he beat Punk but didn't get hurt, Punk didn't get hurt, I'd say you had to do this at All Out. Why'd you do it now? But the fact that he got hurt and it was like a squash match, the story is just overtaken what All Out could be. It just is weird timing, but I'm not as upset about it anymore because of the way the match went down.
I just don't know what you do with the pay-per-view. That's my only thing. And I hear what you're saying, Shlong, but you got to sell a pay-per-view on your main, on your title. So who's the other guy now?
I mean, they,
if you don't want to say MJF, if it's not going to be MJF, who's it going to be?
I don't know. I don't think they now intend to sell the pay-per-view on this title. It does seem crazy, but I don't. I think they're playing a long game on it. I mean, you could throw it. Listen, you could. I'm okay if they don't throw in. If they give him just a match and it's against a good opponent and it's not a huge name, I'm okay with that because of the way this match went down. I wouldn't have been okay with it if it was a straight up match.
It's just my only thing is like, where do we go from here?
But if you're telling this story, you could not have done this at All Out.
No, you couldn't have. I agree with that. But I just...
Yeah, I guess the timing sucks, but like, you wish they'd almost... Yeah, I mean, do they put him in a tag match with someone? Do him and Eddie team up against... Fuck, I don't know who they team up against.
I don't even want that. I mean, there's enough tag action on this card
anyway.
I'm just
trying to think of, like, what do you do with him? Because, I mean...
It's just like, weird, man.
It's weird, but I'm okay with it because I like the story they're telling. I assume they're telling. Now, if they end up not telling the story, then no, I have big issues. But if it's the story I assume they're telling, I'm okay with it. Where it's like, you sacrificed the one pay-per-view for the grander story. Whereas before, it felt like they were sacrificing everything off the pay-per-view. I don't know. It just... He'll have a match. I just don't know who it'll be against.
Yeah, it's gonna be a wild couple weeks because we're down to it now, right? Like, they just pretty much set the card up tonight. Like, there was nothing on this card before tonight. There were maybe three matches that we knew about, and then the trios tournament final. Run down the card that we have, after we get through this show. But just weird timing on this. I just don't know where we're supposed to go. But we'll see. We'll see. We'll trust the process. All right. Shivani goes to interview Christian Cage backstage, and his arm is in a brace, Shlong. He says he extended an olive branch to Jungle Boy last week and gave him one last opportunity to apologize for the hateful personal things that he said. And he knows he said some things too, but it wasn't coming from a place of malice. It was just tough love. But Jungle Boy couldn't see it because he thinks he's better and smarter than he is, but he'll never be better or smarter than Christian Cage. Now that he has the audacity to challenge a living legend to a match All Out and try to maim him deliberately, well, he's seen and done it all, and at All Out, Jungle Boy will find out Christian is not average, he's an anomaly. He's special, and at All Out, Jungle Boy won't be able to match up to Cage even when he's less than 100%. So we do find out we're getting Christian Cage. I'm sorry, Zaddy Christian Cage and the Jungle Man at All Out. So hopefully.
Which I had already thought we had that set. So that's.
Yeah, he threw the gauntlet down last week, but it wasn't accepted. So.
Yeah. So like, even though this is just set this week, this is obviously a story that's been brewing for
yep.
months.
Yep, a couple months now. Yep. We move on to Absolute Ricky Starks making his way to the ring. He says he's mad and he's got a lot of stuff to deal with, and he thought he had a real friend in Hobbs. He checked on him every week when he broke his neck, but the thing about people wanting to see you do good is they never want to see you do better than them. And he always made sure Hobbs ate when he did, and now he's got the nerve to sit there and blame him. Well, then he hits him in the neck, and he knows how close it was to losing all of this again. And he considered him a friend, but now he calls him a low-down, dirty, slimeball, scheming snake. And where he's from, you cut the heads off snakes. So bring your $5 ass to Chicago and fight him it all out. So we know we're getting Powerhouse Hobbs versus Ricky Starks at All Out as well.
So this match is going to be awesome. Another match that we didn't know, but we kind of knew for a while now. They've been setting this up for several weeks. Yeah. And realistically, the tag's been together for so long that we eventually knew this would happen. I loved this promo. Ricky Starks is a fucking star. He came out and delivered such a fire promo.
Yeah, it was great. It just tells you, it just shows you why he deserves to be on TV every week. And that match will be a lot of fun. Who knows, he might not even come out on top, right? Like, he might lose that match, but all I know is that Ricky's a star and this will be an exciting match. Back from commercial, we get another promo for Moxley Schlong, and he calls out people who always write him off and says those people don't matter and they never did. The truth is, the answer to any problem you might have in pro wrestling is always John Moxley. And nobody can do what he does like he does. He says he is professional wrestling and he is the guy in the industry. There are no limitations to what he does, and everybody asks when their time will come. But his time is now. His time is right now. Interesting choice of words
for part of this. So,
I know. Wasn't that a fun few things? Now, listen, I do not think there's any way in fucking hell that John Cena makes an appearance on AEW television. And if it does, it will break the world of pro wrestling. It was just very fun to say my time is here. Like, my time is now. He really was just saying, I mean, if he worked in a, you know, like, maybe you can't see me, but my time is now. You know, that would have also been fun. So Schlong, again, nothing here giving up like what they're thinking about doing at the pay-per-view. So he's just thumping his chest.
Yeah, no, I actually liked this, though. It's a nice little, you know, bookend to that match segment. Yeah, I mean, nothing came out of it, but it was just a lot of fun.
Yeah. I just really want to know where they're going with this.
Yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying. I'm okay if they sacrifice one pay-per-view's main event thing for this story only because of how they're telling it. Again, I will forever say, had it been straight up, I'm with you 100%. And that's only if Punk goes heel off of this, because that is the story to tell.
I think he will. I think that Punk was going into this match working more heel, and that this will complete the turn. But we've got to see.
And I think all the shit that came out about him, like Kay said, some of it, people took a magnifying glass and were like, let's make things, but they are the kings of like something real going on. We'll take it and make it something we can use.
Sure. Well, before we get into the main event, they do hype up the cards over the next couple weeks. We do find out that on Rampage this week, we get a trios match. That will be House of Black versus the Dark Order. Dark Order have a mystery opponent, so we'll see who that is. I'm thinking it's Hangman. We'll get Sammy and Tay versus Ortiz and Ruby Soho. Wardlow will defend his title against Ryan Nemeth. So sorry to know you, Ryan Nemeth. They say we'll also hear from Jade Cargill, and the Ring of Honor World Championship will be in up for grabs. Claudio Castagnoli versus Dustin Rhodes. We do find out that next week on Dynamite, we're going to get Jake Hager versus Bryan Danielson. Danielson will have to carry that match, that's for sure. And then we're going to get Tony Storm and Shida versus Britt Baker and Jamie Hayter. And then again, just running down what we know about All Out and what we found out about tonight, we know we're going to get the AEW Trios Tournament Final, the Lionheart Chris Jericho versus the American Dragon Bryan Danielson, our Women's Interim Championship match, Toni Storm versus Britt Baker versus Jamie Hayter versus Hikaru Shida. Okay. AEW World Tag Team Championship, Swerve and Our Glory versus the Acclaimed. We're going to get Wardlow and FTR versus Jay Lethal and the Motor City Machine Guns, Christian Cage versus Jungle Boy, Ricky Starks versus Powerhouse Hobbs, and the All Out Casino Ladder Match. So, the pay-per-view is shaping up. We just don't know who's going to be defending that world title against who. So, stay tuned for more information. But what I can tell you this, Ryan, is this, Ryan. This main event, this was a great main event. Death Triangle, that's Pac, Penta, and Phoenix versus the United Empire, that's Kyle Fletcher, Mark Dunkzilla Davis, and Will Ospreay. And man, Schlong, this match had, I think, everything you could ask for, right? Just amazing aerial action, reversals. Will Ospreay shows you why he is one of the best in the world today, or he at very least deserves to be up for that discussion, because the dude can do anything in the ring. He makes it look easy. Cutting to the end of this schlong, it is a bit surprising to me. United Empire win by pinfall with the springboard Oscutter on Rey Fénix. Now, post-match, and during this match, it should be noted, I'm sorry, during this match, we did have Don Callis on commentary. He had talked about keeping his eye on Will Ospreay for some time. He had heard a lot of things about him, how even he and Kenny had some words going back and forth on social, and how he was often compared to Kenny Omega. So after the match, the Elite make their entrance and stare the United Empire down. Ospreay and Omega are posturing each other. Omega is trying to get to the ring, but he's held back. And that's the end of the show. So, Schlong, what'd you think of the match here and the post-match antics?
Match was fucking amazing. Jesus Christ. These two teams can go. And we kind of knew that going into it. You know, if you have two of the best wrestlers in the world in Ospreay and Pac, and then you have four more of the best wrestlers in the world in Aussie Open and the Lucha Brothers, like, there was no slacker in this match. Holy shit. You know what the problem is? I had spots in my head, and then the Kip Sabian thing kind of wiped them all out. Not in a bad way. Ooh.
That's right. I forgot to mention that, Schlong. Thank you for the reminder. It was towards the end of this match that we had action on the outside of the ring, and Pac is standing in front of Boxhead Kip Sabian behind the barricade. And he's jawing at him, posturing, and then he pulls off the box, and it's somebody else with their mouth taped shut, like they're being held prisoner by the Riddler. And then Kip Sabian is able to attack from behind, and that pretty much put Pac out for the rest
of the
match.
Which is really what cost them the match.
Sure. And I think we'll probably get an All-Atlantic title, you know, defense at All Out.
Which is why I liked this, because this would be lame if there wasn't a title involved, but they had already set up Kip Sabian versus Pac, so it was like, make use of it. Listen, first of all, the reveal of the duct tape person was hilarious to me, because Kip Sabian's coming back a little more evil, a little bit more whatever. Also, to me, it was completely justified that he interrupted when you heard the chants. The whole arena started chanting for him. I mean, so Twitter lit up because of him. Like, he's clearly, as weird as it is, that box gimmick helped him get over. I don't know how, but it did. Like, it got people loved it, and he looked good. He's a fantastic wrestler. He just needed a gimmick. If his gimmick is being crazy, then I'm going to take it. His match with Pac is going to be amazing. And it was needed, because you want to have the Elite versus United Empire. So you needed to get out of it. You could have them win straight up, and I would have been fine with that. I don't like – I mean, I think we're going to – like I said, I don't know. My guess is we're going to get one – in the next trios match between, you know, House of Black versus Dark Order. But so I don't like too many of these, but at the same point, you have a title involved. The title is very important. It helps set up a couple things. I get it. So it was awesome. I think Kip Sabian just came off looking great in this, and I'm very excited for what's going to happen. And then you get the next trios match of the Elite versus fucking United Empire. That's going to hump.
Yeah. I mean, I think people have wanted to see Kenny Omega and Will Ospreay, you know, wrestle for a while. So that should be a really fun match. But boy, what a fun watch the main event was tonight. If you didn't see it, if you're just listening to this and getting the recap, certainly go back and watch it. Full of action. And just again, like I said, Will Ospreay puts on a clinic. I mean, he shows you why he should be considered one of the best in wrestling today. And that's the show, Schlong. That's Dynamite. So even though it seems like a short rundown, a lot happened in that short amount of time tonight. A lot of surprises we didn't see coming, from Thunder Rosa relinquishing her title to the belt actually being unified tonight, to even the Aussie United Empire winning, I think. You know, it was a pretty exciting night.
This was a great night. Even though the Mox and Punk match didn't really have a match, it was a squash, the potential story more than justifies everything that we're getting out of this. I mean, you had a great match of Dax versus Lethal, and then you had an amazing match of the Trios match. I mean, you just had a great night altogether.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And again, if you didn't see it, go back and check it out. They are really starting to line up all out. So, Shlong, a couple things to note in the world of AEW today. There was a GamesCon 2022, and AEW, THQ, Nordic, and Yuke's were all there. And they actually had a playable, you know, playable games, like so people could get their hands on the game, I guess. And there's also full match gameplay of Kenny Omega versus Adam Cole. That is on YouTube, so you can certainly go check it out. Ryan, did you see any of it from today?
I did. I watched. It looks fucking... I tell you what, that full match gameplay looked really good. That very much harkens back into the N64 days and kind of like what you wanted. If you want a simulator, you play the 2K games. If you want an arcade game, it looks like you play this one. But it looked good. It looked fun, and that's what I think is important.
Yeah, everything looked really cool. I mean, the one thing is he did an avalanche one-winged angel, right? He did it like off the middle rope. So it looks like you can sort of modify these moves a little bit.
Yeah, and they have full entrances. And apparently when you taunt, the guys actually say their taunts.
Oh, that's so fun. Cool.
Yeah, it left me very hopeful because I didn't want it to be 2K. And that's not a knock on 2K. I have 2K.
Right.
I don't need the AEW 2K because what am I doing here? Give me their. So I like that they went down this path and it looks like it's going to work. So I'm very excited for it.
Yeah, it looks good. It can be pre-ordered now on PS5, PS4, Windows, Xbox One, Xbox Series XS, and Nintendo Switch. So it'll be on all the major gaming platforms. As Schlong said, there's an arcade feeling to it. There's a career mode. There are customizations to everything. Match types include singles, tag team, three-way, four-way, ladder, casino battle royal, false count anywhere, unsanctioned lights out, and exploding barbed wire death matches. And there's also online co-op play. So it looks like it's going to be a lot of fun. I think I saw something, Ryan, where they had the dates up for like 12/31. Would be the date that it was coming out, but I think I saw actually like they're slating the game to be released in first quarter of 2023. So who knows? You never really know. These things can get delayed. So so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, that's the guess.
Let's see. Some other things coming out about AEW. Shivani on his What Happened When podcast with Conrad Thompson. Was asked by Conrad about his new gig, and Shivani decided to talk a little bit about things at AEW not being as bad as the bullshit other people would say. He said, I enjoy my job, enjoying my new responsibilities with the company. They're challenging, but those are challenges that I readily accepted when I took the job. And I'm seeing a whole new part of wrestling and wrestlers that I didn't see before. There's some challenges, as you know, and of course the internet is going crazy about this or that. And I'm not going to get into it because I'm going to say this right now. Things are not as bad as bullshit people on the internet would say. Not even close to it. We've seen some things and we've got some things in place now that I think are going to make us even better than ever. So there you go. There's my AEW update. So in the world of Shivani, things are doing well, better than some of the other things people are saying. And there's a lot of rumors flying around out there about that specifically, Schlong. And there was also reports and this kind of goes hand in hand, Schlong. That's why I'm sort of moving ahead. There were also reports tonight that Tony Khan held a talent meeting before Dynamite. I think Fightful Select and PW Insider were both reporting on it earlier in the night. They said that it was expected to address rumors of unrest, contract inquiries, and personal issues before a mandatory meeting before Dynamite tonight. And some of the bullet points from the meeting, rumored bullet points, are that Tony Khan led the meeting. He was described as very animated and impassioned and also fired up. The recently expanded talent relations team and other systems and structures recently put into place were all covered. An email was also sent to the roster briefing them on their new coaches and talent relations people. It was stressed these were put in place to make things better for the talent. Fightful reported that access to TK was discussed in response to rumors of inability to speak to him and miscommunication being the result. And Kenny Omega and the Young Bucks, all vice presidents, made it very clear that their doors are always open and issues can be addressed with them as well. PW Insider mentioned that TK told the team that AEW's chief legal officer, Mega, sent an email to WWE co-CEOs Nick Khan and Stephanie McMahon right before the meeting, quote, warning them not to tamper with his talent, end quote. And Shivani and Jericho were also said to have addressed the meeting, although there aren't really much notes on what they might have addressed the group about. So, Schlong, it seems like they're trying to get out from under some of the negative press they've been getting. And you feel like in a world where maybe they should have been getting some better press with all the shit going down with Vince McMahon, they're sort of the ones who now get thrown under the bus and looked at with a magnifying glass. Listen, personally, I think that's a lot of bullshit. I think there's a lot of just people who aren't happy saying shit, you know, maybe not a lot of people, but you know, there's always going to be people who aren't happy and maybe, you
know, it's work. No one's happy. You don't get 100% happiness at any job. There probably are real issues and then people take them and they make mountains out of molehills. And also truthfully, and it's the same thing happens to WWE for non-Vince McMahon related things. The Vince stuff is serious and should be as brought down can be. But for like the non-stuff, when you have a group of people who just hate a company for the sake of hating a company, the minute bad shit gets reported, it gets amplified by those people a million times. And there's a lot of people who hate AEW just for existing. Same way there's a lot of people who hate WWE for just existing. And so a report of an unhappy talent becomes that this is the worst company in the world and everybody wants to leave. And it's like, all right, guys, relax. Like, how many people are happy at your job? Like, there's going to be unhappy people. It just, everyone needs to calm down.
Yeah. I think that there are definitely mountains being made out of molehills. And after some of the reports where guys like, you know, Gresham wants out and some other people who are rumored to be unhappy, please, one of them, CM Punk. You saw the rumors, Ryan, that he's quitting AEW, right? I mean, just craziness. I think people blow shit up way out of proportion.
Yep.
Honestly, Schlong, that's all the news and notes I have for the night.
That's good. This should be a quick one. You've had a rough week. Well, you've had a long week. I think you need some sleep. So I didn't extend anything purposely, I'll be honest, because I think it's not a bad thing on your first night. Because you just got home today, correct?
No, yesterday. I've been
home. Oh, I thought it was today. Still, I doubt you're fully caught up.
Don't use me as an excuse.
I'm not complaining, man. I'm 40. I'm thrilled. But let's it's not a bad to have a short week. Plus Kate's internet cutting out really did a
for them. Yeah, so that was weird. Maybe somebody will get a new hamster to run in her little wheel.
Yeah, so we're good.
So, again, you can catch Kate wherever she is on her schedule. She's here on Wednesdays. She does a Friday Fightful post show and Sour Graps on Tuesday. And then a bunch of other stuff in between. She's doing some Excite Wrestling thing maybe this weekend. She couldn't clarify that for us. Just go to her socials and see where she is.
She's there. Yep.
Shalong, what are you doing when you're not here?
Nothing.
Okay.
Oh, on Mondays and Tuesdays, you can find me live tweeting Dark and Elevation at Mark Order Pod. The rest of the week, I'm there when I can be, if I'm not doing work. So just don't be a dick and I'll interact with you. And so Shalong and good night.
Well, I'm only here until somebody else taps me for something else. But I'm here every Wednesday night on the Mark Order Podcast. And we thank everybody who watched along with us tonight. We love when you guys are here chatting it up in the chat. And we thank everybody who listens in podcast form as well. So if you are listening in podcast form, thank you. Make sure you rate, subscribe, like, you know, review, do all those things because it helps us out. And if you've never watched us in video format, you should certainly check it out. Head over to our YouTube. Everything's there in video format so you can see some of the crazy shit that goes on. You can find us on all socials at Mark Order Pod, Twitter, Instagram, TikTok, Facebook, YouTube, etc. If you're connected to us on one of them, hit that link tree and you can find links to all our other social, but more importantly, click that button to get free Mark Order Podcast stickers. I'll send you out some of these stickers if you send me your name, your full mailing address and the country you live in. Again, somebody requested stickers and didn't send me your address. Please reach back out. I want to send stickers out. So yeah, free stickers if you do that. And I also might as well mention Ryan, even though he's not here, Millionaire Matt's usually part of our show. Summer's a rough time for his schedule. You can catch Matt every week on the Shining Wizards podcast. That's Mondays at 7 p.m. They do a really great show and they cover all sorts of wrestling. And he also does the Bread Fan, you know, like monthly podcast. So yeah, check him out. And honestly, that's all I got. Next week, we'll be back with a new Mark Order podcast. We're going to be in the home stretch to All Out. Ryan, it's amazing how quick the time passes, huh?
Time flies.
Well, everybody enjoy the rest of your week. Shalong, always fun to talk to you. And we will be back next week here on the Mark Order podcast.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark Order Podcast.